Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future with a savings plan from Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
As you heard in the headlines there, and as we discussed earlier in the programme, a former British soldier convicted of the manslaughter of Tyrone man Aidan McInnesby while going to a GAA match 35 years ago has received a suspended sentence. Former Grenadier Guardsman David Holden received a three-year prison sentence but suspended for 3 years for the killing of Aidan McInnesby in Auchnacloy in February 1988. For reaction to this, I'm joined now by Aidan's cousin, Brian Gormley, and also by Gráinne Taggart of Amnesty International, the UK's Deputy Director for Amnesty International in Northern Ireland. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might turn to you, Brian Gormley, first of all, and thank you very much indeed for being with us on a day that must be emotionally exhausting for you and all of the family. What is the family's reaction to the sentencing?
Good evening. Well, it's a day of mixed emotions again. Obviously, the family, in fairness, we would have viewed the judgment and the final stages of the trial as being the most important aspect of the case, and we were welcomed the judge's ruling on that day, where he was very, very clear in terms of David Holden's guilt and the charges laid against him. He was also very, very clear in that he felt that his version of events were very implausible, was the word used many times by the judge in that case. So we welcomed that at that time. In terms of the sentencing today, well, we probably are a bit more disappointed with the sentencing today, and that we feel that it probably isn't an appropriate sanction or appropriate reflection of the charges laid against David Holden today. And we probably would tend to feel that as a case of not much has changed in terms of British soldiers seem to be immune from prosecution or for serving time in jails. But we do feel that the process itself was worthwhile in terms of we got a chance in court to address some of the version of events that was put out originally by the British Army, which the judge was very clear and explicit and made it clear that that wasn't. He did not believe that version of events.
Well, he actually said quite clearly that David Holden gave a dishonest explanation to the police and then to the court during the prosecution. And they were quite strong words. Can I ask you, do you feel then that you have got justice here? Because you have got the conviction for manslaughter and you have got a sentence handed down today, but David Holden avoids jail.
Well, we've been very clear from the start that actually this wasn't a case of us looking at a pound of flesh from anyone, but we do also feel that we feel that the actual process itself, the court case, did go some way to getting towards the truth. We don't believe it was the full truth, right? But we do feel it went some way towards getting the truth. We thought the judge and his summary of the case in terms of his verdict, we fully concur with what he had said at that stage, but we do find it difficult to actually comprehend, well, here's a man that has been prosecuted for that charge. He's actually been accused of being deliberately misleading the court and previous prosecution services. We do appreciate also that the judge made it very clear that he didn't feel that David Holden was the only one that was guilty, that he felt that there was other people that probably should have been accountable in court today. But in terms of the sentence reflecting the crime, we'll put it like this. If a person was driving using a mobile phone and causing an accident where someone died in, do we think that they're going to get suspended sentences all the time, or someone that does something similar? An ordinary member of the public probably would be treated different than what David Holden was treated today. That would be my opinion on it.
The judge pointed to David Holden's lack of remorse, Brian, during the trial. He said it would have been helpful if he had shown or expressed some contrition to the family. Would it have been helpful to the family if he said, turned round in court or through his barrister and said, I am really sorry for all the pain and suffering caused?
Well, not if he'd done that without actually telling the truth. So the actual apology is only significant if it goes along with him standing up, putting his hands up and says, listen, this is my version of events, what happened on that day. Now, for him to continue telling the story that he tried to tell about wet hands and stuff for 34 years, almost 35 years, and then to turn around and say, sorry, well, that's I don't believe that apology would be accepted, to be honest, I think. But if he told the truth, even without an apology, telling the truth would actually be a big way going towards it.
Some people will ask, well, how did the judge arrive at the suspended sentence decision? Well, he did take, he outlined to the court, didn't he, the various elements that he took into account David Holden's age and inexperience at the time and the trauma he suffered as a result of the shooting, the fact that he was discharged from the army in 1990, which is just 2 years after the killing, the fact that he had no criminal record before the fatal shooting. The judge made reference also, Brian, to the fact that David Holden tried to make a positive contribution to society after leaving the army, and that he's now his wife's carer, and that he now has his own health problems. And that's, I suppose, gives some indication to the judge's thinking. Can I ask you, though, about the reaction from the other side then? Because Paul Young, from the Northern Ireland Veterans Movement, described the sentence, the 3 year suspended sentence, as extremely harsh and a disgrace, he said.
Well, I understand Paul Young saying that, because in their mindset, they think that soldiers shouldn't be prosecuted for anything. And the very good reason for that belief is because soldiers generally weren't prosecuted for murder in the North for 40, 50, over the time of the Troubles.
In fact,
they generally got immunity from prosecution. Mm-hmm. And this is a very rare occasion that a soldier's actually been prosecuted for something. Now, the fact that he's not serving any time behind jail, that's neither here nor there as far as I'm concerned. But it actually reflects the thinking behind the soldiers or the veterans, that they could do whatever they wanted and they'd get away with it. So that's not going to change unless the legal system shows that actually, by the way, no one's above the law.
Well,
but they're making it clear that actually they are.
The statement from the Northern Ireland Veterans Commissioner, Danny Kinahan, says, "We must remember," he says, "security services served as protectors of the people. Professional and dedicated servicemen of some 300,000 personnel should not be allowed to be forgotten or rewritten in history into something it was not." He says, this is in relation to today's sentencing. "The same cannot be said of terrorists," he says. "Finding a way forward on the legacy issues is key to allowing veterans, many in the twilight of their lives, to hold their heads high and be proud of what they did to protect society during 30 years of a terrorist campaign in Northern Ireland." That is just some of the statement he issued. What is your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction to Danny Kinahan is that, and what about those people who broke the law? Are they accountable to the law, or are they above the law? And it's very clear that Danny means that everybody is above the law. They're absolved from prosecution. They're not guilty. For example, with Bloody Sunday, with Ballymurphy, with a Magello Hare shot, with a Patrick McLone shot in open fields, with Aidan McInnesby shot on a clear Sunday day. And by the way, you're right, the judge put everything into context. Let's put Aidan McInnesby's shooting into context. Aidan McInnesby was tortured and terrorised for the last 10 years of his life by the British Army. Different regiments, different personnel, but they tortured and harassed him for 10 years. That's a matter of fact. It's record. Now, that ended, unfortunately, with Aidan McInnesby shooting at Auchnacloy. That now, with a British soldier, yes, he has been made accountable for it. But in terms of serving time, he hasn't done that, but he has been made accountable. He has been found guilty. The fact says he has been found guilty of the unlawful killing of Aidan McInnesby. If he serves 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, that's irrelevant.
Stay with me, Brian, if you can, for a moment. I'm also joined by Gráinne Teggart, Amnesty International UK's Deputy Director in Northern Ireland. Gráinne, you're very welcome to the programme. How do you regard the sentencing today and the process and the outcome of this?
I mean, I want to pay tribute to the very long and courageous and dignified fight from the McInnesby family to get justice for Aidan. Yet the guilty conviction in November was the critical moment in that fight for justice. And whatever the outcome of today, nothing takes away from the fact that obviously the soldier has been found guilty. And as you've rightly referred to in terms of the judge's findings, it was that he gave a deliberately false version of events. But what this case shows is that accountability before the law is still possible, and it must continue. And if we put this in the context of at a time when the UK government are trying to press ahead with legislating for what is a de facto amnesty, to put particularly state forces above the law and beyond accountability, this case demonstrates why justice delayed need not be justice denied. But that's what many victims now face if the UK government continues with its gross betrayal to victims by closing down all paths to justice. You know, we as Amnesty have listened to and the government's claim that the bill is about delivering for victims, but it's completely disingenuous. And even the recent proposed amendments from the UK government pretend to answer the very many concerns that have been expressed about this bill. Mm-hmm. But as the overwhelming opposition demonstrates, no one is buying it. So it's not too late for the UK government to put victims at the centre of legacy processes and vindicate their rights. But on today, you know, this has been both November's judgment and today has been the culmination of a long and dignified battle from the McInnesby family. And it's important that other victims also have access to due process of law and access to the courts. And that's exactly what the UK government are trying to remove.
Because that's your fear, isn't it? That other families who've been suffering for years, that they may not get their day like the McInnesby family.
Yeah, I mean, the UK government are effectively creating a two-tier justice system in the UK, where if your loved one was killed in a non-Northern Ireland conflict context, that you can expect access to the courts. But for other victims of the Troubles, that's now being removed. So it is a very concerning and unprecedented piece of legislation, particularly if we consider other states and other parts of the world who will be looking and watching very closely to see if the UK government succeed in legislating in this manner, and then, and by extension then, if they can put their own state forces above the law. But of course the bill will apply to perpetrators both state and non-state. And it's why we as Amnesty have also been calling to the Irish government, because they too have a role in this. If the UK government continue with this unilateral action and put this bill on the statute books, then we've been calling to the Irish government, who have been very clear in their opposition to the bill, to take an interstate case to the European Court of Human Rights, because frankly, we don't think the burden should fall to victims, who many of whom have been fighting for decades, like the McInnesbys, to get the truth, justice and accountability to which they are entitled.
Can I ask you, before we finish, Gráinne, about today's announcement by the Northern Ireland Office and the UK government about, on another matter, the OMA bombing and an independent inquiry to be set up to look into that. I know Amnesty have been campaigning for some time for such an inquiry. Do you have time to reflect on the announcement and the import of it?
It's a welcome development, and of course, obviously, pay tribute also to the families who have fought long and hard for that inquiry. I think, you know, what today demonstrates, both in the Aidan McInnesby case, is that when you have unimpeded access to the courts, that truth and justice is still possible. And also in this case, in the case of the OMA bomb inquiry, where there is political will to make progress against what were some very heinous crimes committed during the conflict, that too is possible. So it would seem that, you know, the UK government can recognise the significance of giving an inquiry to, obviously, in this case, the OMA bomb families. But they must also recognise that there are other families waiting for their inquest, civil claims to proceed, and to get full access to justice in Northern Ireland. And they can't betray them either.
OK, Gráinne Taggart of Amnesty International and Brian Gormley, a cousin of Aidan McInnesby. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme today.